Cotton fiber blending and the specialty mixing here, actually, we will talk about is some trends that we watch in the market. So it's I'll start first defining with the conventional definition of blending, with where we combine different fiber components together, or fiber different fiber components together to produce an end product with pre-specified characteristics. For cotton, we can cotton we usually blend with synthetic fibers and cotton with cotton. Last year, we were talking about, or we talked about the cotton synthetic fibers, and we were tracing a growing phenomenon mixing Pima cotton with Model fibers. And this year, we found some phenomena in the market blending cotton with cotton. And don't understand me wrong, you will know later on what they mean cotton with cotton. There is no problem blending cotton varieties together, but what we will talk about today is some other thing. Blending cotton is there are economical benefits and there are quality benefits, which we the most is to keep consistent quality or consistent yarn properties. But there are also some other reasons. What these are reasons? I'll start with the reasons, or what we are talking about is blending long ELS cotton fibers with medium or short staple fibers, blending Pima with upland, for example. So in the market now, if you know that the amount of Pima cotton claimed to be in the market is twice as the Pima we have, so or the what's produced. So this means many people claim that their product is made of Pima or ELS, and it's actually it's not 100%. So what are the key questions here? Is it quality visible? The most important thing, is it legitimate? Does it happen? And how we can detect that? So in our work, we took one case study that actually from the market. So it's blending Supima with upland. And we found it happened. So it's we got Supima cotton, two varieties, P1 and P2. And we got two upland cottons. We code it as U1 and U2. These are the fiber properties before any processing, the raw fibers. And the if you notice here that the Pima P2 is superior to P1 in most of the properties, and the upland 2 is superior to the upland 1 in most of the properties. But what's important to emphasize here that the upland is the closest that we can get to the Pima. So it's not the upland that it's away from the Pima. This is the closest we can get to the Pima from upland. The blending strategy, just we have the two Pimas and the two uplands, and we like adding upland to the Pima. It's not mixing like full factorial or blending that maximum, but it's just like in adding one component to the main component. We're considering here that the ALS is the main component, and the long staple will be added to it a little bit by a little bit. So it's 100%. If we have started with 100% Pima and then added 10% upland and so on, and we stopped at 50-50, and then we did the upland, 100% upland without Pima too. How we did the blending, this is our way to do blending actually in our laboratory, and this we started this long ago, using the rotor ring. The rotor ring to blend the fibers. So we blend the fibers by hand, making to and feed it to the actually to feed it to the router, the router ring machine. Where is the cursor here? I'm moving. Yes. Okay. So it's we prepare the mix and feed it to the rotor ring machine, and this is a modified ring machine, rotor ring machine actually modified in our laboratory to measure the opening torque. So we measure the torque or opening torque of the fibers. We prepare the mix, feed it, and this is a feed roller, opening roller, and this is a big rotor where we collect the fibers. And then we don't make yarn, but we collected this as kind of a ribbon, and we make it as a sliver, and we use it as a sliver actually later on. What we were doing is just see how these fibers will perform during blending or during processing. The main criteria is, or one of the most important criteria is the opening torque, how much torque it needs to open the fibers. And this is, again, I'm losing. And this is the bar diagrams of opening torque at different fibers, I'm showing the 50-50%. And what's important from this graph is the opening torque. I forgot to mention that we run the fibers one time, and then second time and third time, and we kept actually doing this like seventh time, but from our experience, we know that after third time or third run, the fibers or the torque, the fibers is usable, and we can use it, take it and use it later on. What we noticed also in the past that the torque starts slow and then increases and then stabilizes, and maybe later on, if it's cotton, later on it goes down, the torque, opening torque decreases. With synthetic fibers, it's always increasing from one run to another. The opening torque increases as if you are creating more surfaces and more friction. For the sake of comparison, we're taking only the third run torque as the fibers are already fairly opened and can be used. And so we're comparing the third run opening torque, and we will take it as the opening torque needed to open the fibers. And what we see here from this graph, it's almost linear. The x-axis is the percent of opalant in the blend, and as much opalant you have in the blend, the lower the opening torque, because actually as the opalant needs less torque to open, and this is related mostly on the fiber length. This is the area where we concentrate our work on. Also from performance of fibers during blending or during processing is how much short fibers it creates. So we measure the short fibers content in the slivers. So we have the short fiber content in the fibers before processing or before the rotoring. But these numbers here, you see in the graph, are the short fiber content in the sliver after the rotoring. So this is the rotoring simulates or shows like the processing, the opening process. So this is, if you look at this graph, you will see how much short fibers you have in your sliver or created to. It's the short fibers you have in your sliver anyway after the processing. And we will see that the upland, the more upland you have, the more short fibers. Nips, the tendency of creating nips is also the upland creates less nips. Even at the beginning, we started with the with Pima with less nips than the opalant. But at the end, you know, Pima creates more nips than the opalant. Now, after making the sliver or this part of sliver, it's as long as the circumference of the big rotor, of the rotor ring, we take this sliver, we take part of this sliver and measure the properties on the AVIS machine, and take the rest of it and do breaks on the Enstrom. We do the breaks on the Enstrom to also to measure the cohesion force and the sliver. And this is also some of the properties or processing, the properties we need to know or shows us what's going on during processing. And this is, again, this is the curve, how it's, this is the displacement. It's just a regular Enstrom machine. We have gauge length, 50 millimeters gauge length, and we break the sliver, and this is how the force increases and decreases. The force decreases and increases, and we take the cohesion force at the maximum, which is the maximum force at this point. So this is just to show you how the force or the breaking force of the sliver, if you wish. And these are the blending ratios. Just this is for one blend, P1, U1. And you see perfectly that it's the Pima is the higher need, the Pima sliver, 100% Pima sliver has the maximum cohesion force, and the upland has the minimum. And as you go from lower percent of upland to higher percent of upland, the cohesion force decreases. This is like valid for most of the blends. And again, I will show this graph shows you the cohesion force, which is as the force at the maximum force from the previous graphs. And then again, what we see here is the cohesion force at 50 millimeters gauge length with increasing the blend or the upland and the Pima. Again, it's I don't see any problem of like calling it linear. This is what was that? Again, I'm repeating the graph that I showed you before, the opening torque. So as you see, this they are very similar, the opening torque and the cohesion on the sliver. So it's very, very comparable to each other. after that, we will look at the attributes of the blend. We will measure the blend, the fiber properties, and the blend. first of all, we tested the color. We took the slivers and measured them on the HBI for color. And these are sliver. I know the HBI has to measure the fibers and their raw form, but also for the sake of comparison, there is no problem of just preparing the sample same way for a comparative study. So this is the RD, and as we know that it's the RD of, the Pima is darker than the opaline. The more opaline you have, the brighter the fiber, the blend. This is the plus B. Again, it's going like almost a good linear way from the 100% Pima to opaline. And now the other length properties. For example, this is the length by weight. It's perfectly masked because you know the weight is, and this is the length by number, which is you see more variability, the fineness from the and the Militex, and this is the length distributions. Again, this is the length distribution by weight. It's like close to normal, but this is by number, which is can show the short fiber content. So this is, we start again from the right or the dark blue is for the 100% Pima, and the red one is for 100% oblate. This is the four blends that we have, and I will close with these remarks. The case study showed that it's possible to blend the ELS with cotton. There is no problem we found in processing, in adding Auckland to Pima. This is does not by any means that we encourage that, or we encourage doing that without, this is what we need, without telling, because it's not ethical to tell this is 100% Pima or 100% even Auckland, and you add to it some other fibers lower grade. So it's not for the support of the Pima, but if support for any fiber that you need just to declare what you are doing. If you are mixing other fibers, you need to tell. It's no problem to process, as long as you can live with that, you can produce good yarn and good product. And we experienced it. I mean, I tested fabrics and yarns made from a mix. I cannot tell where I get them from, but it is doable and it is in the market. Our experience suggests that this practice has been taking place in some areas of the world. The know-how associated with good dyeing and finishing has made it possible to produce fabrics made from these plants. We see very, very, very nice fabrics made of these plants, but of course we did some analysis, but it's very tedious analysis that we get fibers from yarns from these fabrics and fibers, and we notice the bimodality in fiber length. So this is like a quite large amount or percent of short fibers or Pima upland kind fibers were in the blend. If this trend continues, a substantial loss in market value can be encountered. If you can claim this is upland and you're adding some worse fibers or some bad fiber or short fibers to it, this will ruin the market of the upland, as also if you use it for Pima and adding some shorter fibers to it, this will ruin the market to the longer fibers or the better fibers. The key question in this regard is how to detect cotton identity theft and the dyed and finished fabric from a form, and we intend to continue in our research in this direction. Thank you.